Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I first read through this text in preparation for this sermon, I was struck by just how many popular Christian one-liners are in these verses. Lines like, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And behold, the old has gone, the new has come. And we are ambassadors for Christ. And Christ gave us the message of reconciliation. In one sense, I was relieved that, yes, at least this is a text that everyone should know. And good, this isn't a text that has me preaching on Exodus in front of President Egger or wisdom literature in front of Dr. Seleska. Because just in case you didn't realize it, preaching at Concordia Seminary's chapel isn't exactly the easiest place to preach. It's here where homiletical trespasses or exegetical sins haunt seminarians as you are looked at under a scary microscope or a fine-toothed comb. As almost everyone here is a preacher and has a different opinion on delivery style, preferred structure, or sermon length. So considering all of that then, after reading these verses more and more, I was also relieved that Paul is pretty straightforward with his message. By the end of the text, you may only be asking one thing, which is, wait, what exactly is an ambassador for Christ again? But when you go back to the verses and read, you will realize that Paul lays out his supporting sentences pretty clearly. So here again, these verses, starting at verse 15 through 18. Paul writes, "And he, Christ, died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So, what is an ambassador for Christ? Well, it is someone who no longer lives for themselves, no longer regards anyone according to the flesh, and is charged with the message of reconciliation. Hopefully, when you heard those three parts of being an ambassador, your seminary and teleprompters have alerted you to what that means in seminary lingo. Number one, don't be a theologian of glory. Number two, don't be a jerk. And number three, recognize that you have been deputized by God to deliver a message. But there is more to this text, more to these popular Christian one-liners, and more to those seminary terms than what meets the eye. And what comes next is the difficult part, both in preaching and in its application. Frankly, this difficult part is summed up by a very Lutheran question of, what does this mean? What exactly does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ today? What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ today in 2022 at Concordia Seminary, tasked with the message of reconciliation? What does it mean for you seminarians and deaconesses who are focused on the future? Your eyes, your hearts, your minds ever turned toward that future vicarage, that future internship, that future call? What does it mean for you seminarians and deaconesses who are focused on learning and growing as much as possible, who are trying to prepare yourselves to go out and face challenges on your own in this world? What does it mean for you who are trying to get as much out of this place as possible to train and form yourself for work in a church that you are going to? Well, if the answer has to be so centered around you, then you've probably missed Paul's point. You see, to be an ambassador for Christ here in the present day at Concordia Seminary means that you are called to live differently right now as a new creation. And your whole outlook on everyday life and how you view others is changed entirely. You already know that since the fall of Adam and Eve, reconciliation in this world is a complete foreign concept. Because of the brokenness of sin intermingled into the very fiber of creation, reconciliation is just a pipe dream for most people. The devil, the world, your own sinful nature will always be working against any form of reconciliation. They will always be seeking to divide you from God and others. They will always be pushing to raise hostility between you and others. And they'll always be telling you and others to live for yourself and to regard someone else according to the flesh. Maybe without even realizing it, all of the sudden, you find yourself squarely on the opposite side of the exhortation that Paul and God have for you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Maybe you too realize that you are often focused on living for yourself. You have been focused on how seminary can build you up, focused on what you can get out of your seminary experience, focused on what you can get out of your vicarage internship or call. Or maybe you realize you do regard people according to the flesh. Maybe you see a fellow seminarian or deaconess in your class as someone who is inferior to you in how they think or operate or talk. You look at them and think about all of the ways they may or may not be a good pastor or deaconess. You become stuck seeing them as defined only by their strengths or weaknesses, or by their Harrison assessment, or by their disc bird. Or maybe you always remember or hold on to that one time your classmate wronged you. And instead of reconciling or talking with them, you hold that trespass against them and put it on the shelf. Maybe hostility or division then grows against them as you stay silent or talk about them to others. And when you consider all of these opposites of Paul's charge to you, it is scary to think, what if God the Father regarded you only according to the flesh? What if Jesus Christ came to this earth only in the flesh to live for himself? What if God, the Holy Spirit, was never present with you to bring about reconciliation in this broken world? All of those what ifs are light years scarier and more difficult than ever preaching at Concordia Seminary's chapel. But then verse 21 rings in your ear. Paul writes, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So thanks be to God that Jesus Christ came to earth as God in flesh and did not live for himself. Thanks be to God that because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, God does not regard you according to the flesh. Thanks be to God that you have become the righteousness of God through your baptism into Christ, and you have received the promised Holy Spirit who helps you in your daily Christian life. Because Christ died and rose for your sake, you can not only be an ambassador for him, you are an ambassador for him. Because you have been reconciled to God, you now are different. You are a child of God. You are a reconciler. Because you have been baptized into Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. You have a new identity. You have new meaning. And you have an eternal purpose. See, now, all of those temporary things that used to seem like a big deal before, things like having the perfect class schedule, or having perfect classmates, or having that perfect vicarage internship or call, now those things mean nothing. Nothing in comparison to what God has eternally given you. And although you did not deserve it, God reconciled you to himself, claiming you as his own. You yourself have now experienced this radical reconciliation from God. And the result of this cosmic level reconciliation, that's life changing. Remember the second question that I asked you earlier? The question that sounded very Lutheran? It was, what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? Today in 2022, here at Concordia Seminary, well, what does this mean? Well, it means that everything's different here today. Today on March 29th, 2022, you as a reconciled child of God look at everything and everyone differently through a lens of reconciliation. Being caught up as God's new creations changes how you look at your life and how you view others. And it doesn't start in 4 months when you begin your call, internship, or vicarage. It doesn't start in a few years when you become an experienced pastor or deaconess. It starts right now. Being an ambassador for Christ means that you no longer define something only by the value you get from it. No longer do you define someone by their strengths or their weaknesses or their actions. No longer do you define someone by a comparison to you or others. Rather, you define them by their identity as a child of God. No longer do you hold trespasses against someone. Rather, you reconcile by forgiving them 70 times 7. No longer do you live for yourself because you realize that life is not about you. Rather, you live for Christ and for the eternal purpose that he set before you. Yet, the reconciliation and the good news doesn't quite end there. Because really, in the end, being an ambassador for Christ means that you look forward to a day of perfect reconciliation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, one day we look forward to when our perfect ambassador comes back. And when he comes again, he will reconcile all things. He will make all things new. And he will complete our message of reconciliation with eternal peace and joy. What a wonderful day that will be. A day with no more divisions, no more hostilities, no more brokenness. But until then, live as ambassadors for Christ. Live with new eyes that look at other people differently. And live with an eternal identity in Christ. Amen. Now may the reconciling peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.